Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let me discuss with you the all-sufficiency of Christ in forgiveness. And friend, we're dealing with a key issue of New Testament Christianity. Forgiveness is at the heart of the faith of Jesus Christ. And in this study, we shall consider forgiveness from two points of view. One, as a benefit and a blessing that we receive for ourselves, the forgiveness we receive from God. And two, our duty and privilege of forgiving each other. Now, man's greatest need is to be forgiven of sins by the Heavenly Father because our sins alienate us from God. This need is supplied through Christ. The forgiving spirit that we are to have toward others has been determined by Christ. After all, He is our master, our teacher, and our example. Forgiveness is a matter of the mind or the heart. Matthew 18:35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Living a Christ-like life involves having the same mind or the attitude toward things as Jesus had. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, we are admonished in Philippians 2:5. Now this was stated in the context of having humility and the spirit of obedience. But who would question that the mind of Christ is to be our standard in all things? Being a forgiving person is a matter of being obedient, whether we are considering our forgiveness from God or our being forgiving toward others. We must know what Christ has done in this matter and what He taught on the subject, and we must know what He expects from us in both areas. Well, what does it mean to forgive? Well, various definitions are found in the dictionaries as well as descriptions of instances of forgiveness. It means to throw away guilt, to pass over and to erase. It means to pardon and to cancel and to release, to not count, to blot out, to remit, to just wipe away. As one has defined it over and over, it's done and it's over. I prefer the definition, let it go. Something has been said or done that ought not have been said or done, but God lets it go, as if it has never occurred. Someone offends another, but forgiveness is the offended one lets it go. Let's look at the mission of Christ. When our Lord Jesus came to this earth, a part of His mission was to provide the way of forgiveness. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Acts 5, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. In Acts 13, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And look at Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. It was even announced to Mary before His birth that Jesus was to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. Friend, there is no separation of forgiveness and Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, Jesus provided for our forgiveness, and He taught us how those who sin are to be forgiven by us as well. Scripture reveals how He fulfilled His mission, and forgiveness is important to us because we all sin. We sell our souls to Satan by sinning. And that which Christ has done is sufficient in providing forgiveness. A person is most blessed when he is forgiven. In Romans 4, 7 and 8, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So often men try to cover their sins the wrong way. And Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. No, we cannot cover our sins by working them off. And when one obeys the gospel, he is in no way attempting to work his way to heaven by his own merit. You cannot do enough good to remove the guilt of sin. You cannot cover your sins by shifting the blame to someone else, as was attempted by Adam and Eve and Aaron and Saul and many others. You certainly cannot remove the guilt of sin by denying that you have sinned, or by calling evil good and good evil. Isaiah said in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Listen to me, dear friend. The only way to cover sins rightly is for sins to be forgiven. And here we come to the role of Christ. How did Christ provide for our forgiveness? His is the role of a Redeemer who purchased us with His own blood, Acts 20:28. Ephesians 1:7 teaches, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. He stated that He came to give His life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28, and that His blood would be shed for many for the remission of sins, Matthew 26:28. We noted that we sell our souls to Satan by sinning. But now we can add that He bought us back by His blood. For this reason we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Paul says, ye are Christ. Ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are redeemed and we are justified by the blood of Christ, Romans 5 and verse 9. Now, the value of something is determined by the price that is paid for it. We know the value the Lord places on the soul of man and His church because of the price paid. Salvation for man did not come cheaply. Our Lord came to be the sin offering for us, Romans 8 and verse 3. And John presented Jesus as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verses 29 and 36. And only the blood of Christ would suffice. After His sacrifice, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, Hebrews 10, 26. The sufficiency of Christ in forgiveness is noted in the fact that He was offered only once, Hebrews 9, 28. There is no need for repeated sacrifices as was done under the Mosaic system. The sufficiency of Christ in forgiveness is seen also in that He covers the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2 and verse 2, He does this by being the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction for the payment of sin, satisfaction in the mind of God. And where does forgiveness take place? Forgiveness takes place in the mind of God. In Luke 5, who can forgive sins but God? Jesus said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, Matthew 9, 6. Yes, it is God who forgives. Forgiveness is not determined, friend, by how we feel, nor according to man's terms, Romans 10 and verse 2. We're not forgiven because of our sincerity or the intensity of our recognition of our need and desire to be forgiven. God is the one offended when we sin, and God determines how we are to be forgiven. We must consent and conform to His way in order to be forgiven. I would insist to you, it is His way or not at all. And this brings us to our part in obtaining forgiveness. When a person is forgiven by the Lord, forgiveness is conditional. We must believe in Christ, John 8, 24. Repent of our sins, Luke 13, 3. Confess our faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And I ask you, what right does anyone have to claim forgiveness until he has done what the Lord requires? And since we are saved by the blood of Christ, we must come in contact with God's cleansing agent. And it's when we're baptized that we're baptized into his death, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And it was in his death where his blood was shed, John 19, 34. And the Christian whose sins may be forgiven by meeting the conditions specified for him, repentance and confession of sins and prayer. I want to repeat, we are not forgiven until we have done the will of the Lord. Now, it has been said that when God forgives, he forgets, and this is true. Hebrews 8 and verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And when we forgive, can we forgive so completely? Can we really forget what has occurred? Now, we may mentally recall the incident as having happened, but even the Lord recalled the occasions when Israel sinned, when he was reviewing their history and looking at their relationship with him. And we cannot expect to blank out everything from our mental memory, but as God, we can count the forgiving one as without guilt. We can, as we have defined forgiveness, let it go. When God forgives us, we're not first acceptable to God, but he accepts us once more. We were alienated, but now we're reconciled when we're forgiven. We're restored to peace with God when we're forgiven. This is what forgiveness is. Now, this brings us to a duty that we have toward one another. We have the opportunity to demonstrate the mind of Christ in our lives. When Christ was dying on the cross, he prayed that others might be forgiven. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen prayed for the forgiveness of his persecutors when he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And Paul prayed for those who had sinned against him. May it not be laid to their charge, he said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Did not Stephen and Paul show the mind of Christ living in them? Now, offenses come. The important matter is how we deal with them. Let us insert here that every offense is not necessarily a sin against us. You know, some of us are just overly sensitive. We're wearing our feelings on our sleeve, just looking for something about which to feel slighted. And we have no right to be offended by the trivial and petty things, differences of opinion or accidents. So many times people get at odds with each other over things that really do not matter. And what should they do about that? Let it go. We're taught to pray, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, Matthew 6:12. And when ye stand praying, forgive. For if ye have aught against any, that your heavenly Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. So we learn that we must forgive in order to be forgiving. Luke 6 and verse 37. Christ said, forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, the alternatives to forgiveness is to be unforgiving, seek retaliation or vengeance, nurse a grudge, and try to even the score, retain the barrier, as well as not be forgiven ourselves. I ask you, friend, is such misery really worth it? Vengeance belongs to God anyway. Grudge holding only hurts the one who holds the grudge. Cannot we easily comprehend the Lord's attitude toward those who will not forgive? And we pause from this study in Matthew chapter 18. There we discover the mind of Christ in this matter. Forgiveness is a paramount thought, not only of Christ toward us, but us toward others that may offend us. And if you have trouble forgiving somebody, you might try praying like this. Lord, forgive me as I forgive, and then name the person. Lord, forgive me as I forgive that person. I think we will find it easier to forgive if we pray that prayer. When we refuse to forgive and do not have a willingness to forgive, we burn the very bridge of deliverance over which we must cross in order to enter heaven. And why allow what somebody else has said or done keep us out of heaven? I repeat to you, dear listener, let it go. And this is a willful, deliberate action on our part that we must take. And it is what God expects of us. Well, how often shall I forgive? Well, Jesus answered this question in Luke 17 and Matthew 18. There is no limit. And are not we glad God has not limited His forgiveness of us? Should not our attitude be that of the Father in the parable of the prodigal son? We can only hope the elder brother changed his mind. And consider the benefits to all in matters of forgiveness. He forgives us. We are thereby reconciled to God. We become one of the saved. We're accepted again. We're no longer counted as guilty. We enjoy fellowship with deity. And when we forgive others, we're united. And we destroy the work of the devil. We live and we love in peace rather than hostility and hatred. What tremendous harm is done to the cause of Christ when even brethren will not forgive each other? What a tragedy when brethren, who even stand for the same saving gospel, are hostile toward each other. And how tragic to face God in judgment with an unforgiving spirit, as well as having been unforgiven. It is not a question of the Lord's will, nor our understanding of it, nor our responsibility regarding it, nor His expectancy of us. The question is, will we do the Father's will? Will we obey His will in order to be forgiven? And will we, in turn, forgive others? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.